Welcome to Changing the Sales Game on WebTalkRadio.com. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. You know that my guest and I are excited that you're joining us today. Now, as you listen to the show, I get it, man, right? We talk about sales, we talk about changing in whatever industry or environment that you're living and working in. I have a free gift for you in my show notes. It's my communication style assessment. It's really good because you take the assessment, you're going to get two reports. One will spotlight just your natural communication superpowers, how your message is landing to your prospect or client that's in front of you. It's important to know. Flip side, your lowest score are really people who communicate 180 degrees different than you. Ah, how is your message landing there? Probably a more important report to check out. So again, you'll get two reports, one your superpowers, one a potential blind spot, and I hope they serve you on changing your sales game. Now, my quote today, you know, I love to start my show by sharing a quote that sets just the foundation of the conversation. And it's by the amazing Zig Ziglar. I think this is the second week I've picked a Zig quote because I think he's so awesome, or he was so awesome. But here's his quote. If people like you, they'll listen to you. But if people trust you, they'll do business with you. So for me, this is really true. Trust is such an interesting and I think an important word, and I think critical in business today. We think we know what it means, but we don't always know how to earn that level of trust and respect. So becoming a trusted partner isn't about discounting the fees you charge. It's about the relationship you continue to build through the years, plural there, years. It takes effort, honesty, care, patience, and curiosity about what's happening in your client and or prospects' lives and business. And this has to happen year after year. So who is my amazing guest today that we're going to dig in and talk about this? My guest is Dr. Yaniv Zaid. He's known to the world as Dr. Persuasion. Is an economist, an attorney, and is a business consultant. Has been a business consultant to government departments, private firms, as well as public organizations. Now he holds a PhD in law and utilizes his rich knowledge and experience to help others succeed. He's recognized worldwide as an expert in public speaking, marketing, sales, negotiation, and persuasion. Now, following 20 years of international success, Dr. Zaid is an author of 11 best-selling books, including Public Speaking, Creative Marketing, and Sales Bible. So check them all out, and please help me welcome Yaniv to the show. So Yaniv, thanks for being on, and I know you're busy, and it's very late in Israel right now.
Yeah. Thank you, Connie. Thank you for having me. It's a privilege for me to be here. Thank you.
I'm excited about our conversation because your zone of genius, is sales, but it kind of a little bit different spin, right? Mine is the sales process and that communication. You're about that too, but you're about even more. So let's start. How did you start your business?
Well, I'm 46 years old. I live in Tel Aviv in Israel, married for the second time. I have two kids. And when I was a student, I studied law and economic, and I joined the debate society. You know, the debate, you have two people argue in front of audience and professional judges. And I liked it very much. And then I started when I was 23 years old, I established my company. At first, it was a consulting company and a workshop company about a debate, how to improve your public speaking abilities. And over the years, I began to deal more with business-oriented capabilities, such as sales, marketing, negotiation. And I started lecturing about it. And so far, 20 years from there, more than 2,500 lectures and workshops in four continents. And I realized that people really need those skills because nobody teaches those skills, you know, in high school, you know, preschool, kindergarten, you know, universities. If you ask people what do they want to achieve in life, usually they say love, health, you know, and communication. People who love me would like to succeed in business, but nobody teaches us those skills. So there is a really big gap between what the formal education system teaches us and what we really need in life. So I decided my life mission will be in my area, sales, marketing, negotiation, public speaking, to help people, you know, speak better and, you know, to help businesses grow and to help authors and lecturers, establish a business behind their books and the lectures. And this is what I've been doing since then.
And you know, it's so funny. And if you're so right, I remember my older son, he's now 28, but he was, I think it was first grade. And the teacher was brilliant. She had them, she made them the CEO of the day. She gave them a microphone. They sat in the front and all the kids sat on the floor. And it was show and tell, is that in essence what it was, but it was public speaking. And they would each get a turn and they would talk about something they clearly knew, right? That was passionate for them, but they had to wait, you know, like be patient while everybody settled down. And then at the end, they did a Q&A, you know, so they had to answer. I said to her, and she invited the mom and dad if they wanted to come to see the kid do the, you know, this presentation. So she just very inclusive with the parents, partnership, all these things, she was a great teacher. Fast forward. So at the time I said to her, why aren't they making kids do show and tell in the younger grades? And then when they get to high school, if they don't join a debate team, but how can we give them some communication skills, do a show and tell or these little mini presentations about something they know they like, they like being a cook or whatever. That's how you learn how to use it and not be afraid when you do have to public speak in front of the CEO of your organization. We fail our kids with teaching them how to communicate. We're taught them to say, sit and be quiet. You listen and you raise your hand when you have an answer. No more, no less. And we can't have chaos in the classroom. My poor teachers are like, what is she saying? Right. But we can't have chaos, but they're the kind of skills that we should be teaching and we're not. So I think if I'm hearing you correctly, right, you're in a different part of the world. I think across the countries, continents, we're failing our children by not giving them these skills that will help them progress in their careers and their businesses and beyond, right?
Yeah, I agree. It's very, very important skills. And today the awareness is higher than what it was, you know, 15, 20 years ago. But still, more people need to know how to, you know, how to deliver a speech, deliver a sales, elevator speech, you know, to grow the business, to maintain money, to market themselves. People don't know it. I learned, economy and law, and they taught me everything, you know, about law, how to, you know, public law and criminal law. But they didn't teach me three things. One, how to talk in front of a judge, you know, in court. Two, how to write, you know, legal documents. And three, how to market myself as a lawyer. Now, when you go out to the market, what do you need to do? You need to talk, you need to write, and you need to market. So all the basic skills you need to do as a business or, you know, as a career, as a lawyer, that nobody teaches you in 4 years in university. And I have a PhD in law. So I studied 9 years, you know, first degree, second degree, third degree, and nobody taught me those skills. So again, I think people like us, we are narrowing the gap. You know, we are narrowing the gap of the formal education system. Yeah. This is why it's very important. This is why many people listen today to podcasts or read books, because they didn't learn it in school.
That's exactly right. It's funny. The other thing I wanted to tease you a little bit, you said that you did the debate when you were a kid in school and you loved arguing. I thought, oh, how does your wife like those skills?
Well, I met my both wife, you know, in my conferences. I had the big conferences in Israel. So both of them, one, I lectured in her company. She was a big manager in their companies and I lectured there. And my second wife was in my conference. And then after a few months, we started dating. This is
a persuaded just, her is what I'm hearing, Yanni.
Yeah. We both persuaded each other, you know. If our friends, they laughed that, you know, she paid me for the workshop. And then, I pay her for the rest of her life. So she did a positive ROI, you know.
I love it. I just had to tease you. You said I loved arguing. But my goodness, I have to bust his chops on that one. Next question. So how to be all of these things that you just said, agree 100%, right? So that we're hopefully you and I, what we're doing is really narrowing that gap. Because at the end of the day, I think business is all about communicating effectively as well as with clarity. Because if my client or my prospect is clear on what I'm sharing, they can make a decision. If I'm willy-nilly, it's going to be really hard for them to make a decision. So how can businesses, with all that said, ask for or get those higher price points? Because I know I see that all the time. Well, they're going to ask to negotiate the price. Why? Right? So how do we get those higher prices?
First of all, you need to sell the problem before you sell the solution. You know, most of the businesses, they focus on their solution, you know, the product and services, and they don't focus on the client. Now, we need to understand what are the client's problems and needs, because the bigger the problem, the more I'm willing to pay for it. If we take, for example, you know, a regular bouquet of flowers, you know, I can charge, let's say, $100. But if I will call it a bridal bouquet, you know, flowers for the wedding, now I can charge $300, $400, $500. Now, why? Those are the same flowers, but But what is different is the need, because when you buy bridal bouquet, flowers for the wedding, you don't actually buy flowers. Why? You know, the you buy the winning winning picture of the perfect wedding, you know, a million dollar feeling. You buy, you know, a queen for a day, for the bride and groom. You buy the image of 10 years from now, you sit with your kids, you look at the album photos and you say, oh, look how beautiful mommy was. And 30 years from now, with your grandkids, you say, "Whoa, how beautiful grandmother was!" So this is what you buy when you buy the flowers for your wedding. Okay, so you need to focus on why people buy this. I can give you another example. There is, you know, discs of Mozart. I sell my books online, Amazon, eBay, etc. So I always check pricing of other products. A few years ago, I saw a CD of Mozart. It's being sold on Amazon. So there is a CD, Mozart for grown-ups, okay? It's 99 songs, it's 13 hours of music, and it costs $9, okay? And there is also Baby Mozart. Baby Mozart is Mozart for kids between 0 to 3. It's actually for the parents because the kids don't buy it yet. And Baby Mozart is just 28 minutes of music. It's just 9 songs, and it costs $48. So 6 times more, okay? And something like 10% of the amount of songs. Now, and this is a bestseller product. People are buying it. Now, why? Because when you buy Baby Mozart, you don't buy the music. You buy, you know, a calmer kid. You buy, you feel better as a parent. The feeling, you buy, you know, the success of your kid because, you know, classic music creates, you know, creativity, etc. So you buy many things that are not the music. So, and this is not a theoretical discussion, because if you look at the mail, at the listing, at the you know, description of the product, you actually see the sentences. Would you like a calmer kid? Okay. Would you like to be a better parent? Would you like all your environment to think that you're a better parent? Then this CD is for you. You know, so when you understand why people buy things, and when you enter into their mind, and when you talk and write about their needs and problems, then you can charge higher prices because you're talking about them. And this is what differentiates you from others, from your competitors.
It's funny because I say we have to flip the script, right? I don't believe in scripts, first of all, in sales. That's horrible. You could have a template so you make sure that you cover the 5 key things, right? So you ground your notes with an agenda or something. You should never have someone else's words and use them, because it's icky and it's not authentic. And that comes through loud and clear, right? So when I say flip the script, we come from, you come in, here's my situation, and I immediately go, oh, I have a solution, blah, 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 and I talk at you and tell you all about my program, when really, really, the only thing you care about is, am I going to help my kid be more creative? So it doesn't matter all the other stuff I have for, you know, a 4-year-old, whatever it is. We have to make sure that we hear where the client is coming from, what they're thinking about right here, right now, as well as understanding, well, if we do this, what would be the next piece of the puzzle? So not only do we sell to them today, but now we've become this beautiful planning partner, because I understand you. You know, I understand you. You trust my judgment and what my recommendations are right here, right now. So anytime you have a situation, or hopefully I'm keeping in touch with you, that whole follow-up process, another piece of the sales process. But now I'm talking to you about things 6 months, a year, 3 years from now, when your kid is now 8 years old, but you've already built that connection with me. So not only do I make that immediate sale, but you become a profitable client for me, and I become a profitable partner for you. It wins-wins. Yet we're trying to do this selling through, and I'm going to use your word, persuasion. Persuading someone doesn't mean manipulating them. It means understanding and then saying, oh, if I'm hearing you right, this is really the package you need. You said this, but you don't need that. You really just need this piece. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Understand the client and differentiate yourself from others. Most salesperson, like you said, they read from a script. You know, they are not authentic. They have the script. They're just saying the same thing to many clients all day long. I say, by the way, that if you talk to many people all day and you sell all day, then if you listen to the client and let them speak and then just adjust your messages, then it will be more fun for you for the rest of the day. You know, it's not, you don't, you know, tiring yourself by saying the same words over and over again to clients.
Yeah, it's like a parrot, right? They just have a better,
and you will have a better conversion rate because again, you will sell more because you actually listen to clients and you act differently than most salesperson.
And it's funny too, because that's selling at a higher price. Now, if you're customizing and put the pieces together, sometimes it's a higher price, but it's more cost effective for the client in the long run of what you're putting together, because we're getting the ROI quicker. So even though you're paying more upfront because it's a heavier lift, let's say, for me to help, but that long-term trajectory, man, money over money for them in their situation, because I'm helping them build those skills. So that's the thing. We're penny wise, dollar foolish. Well, I can't charge that. But if the trajectory of the outcome is exponentially more, of course you have to, because it's a heavier lift for you. You have to get paid for your zone of genius, as well as helping that person increase their zone of genius or minimize blind spots, whatever you want to call. So well, I love that.
Yeah, if we talk the maybe Mozart example, what a genius. Mozart didn't write anything especially for kids. Someone repackaged, you know, the music and started selling it to kids. And you can ask the parent how it's how much it's worth for you that will have a calmer kid. You know, that your baby will cry less at night. Or you can put your baby in front of TV, and when he listens to classic music, baby Mozart, it's not just he listens to some horrible show, something like that. So you don't feel guilty as a parent when you do something else. You know, and you have a kid. A better chance to succeed. So how much does it worth to you? It's priceless, right? So I offer you just in $48. That's it. And then $48 suddenly sounds really cheap.
That's exactly. I agree. So again, we got to get out of our own head about the limitations we put on pricing, et cetera. And the other thing you said that I think is real important, Jan, is us as the salesperson or whatever, who's ever making the offer out there, business owner, et cetera. There has to be that trust factor and that underlying value, that perception of value. So we limit what the price is, but what is that again, if the end result gets the person where they need to be, you're differentiating yourself from all the other blah, 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 right? The same crap that they're spewing out there. All of a sudden you're differentiating yourself from the other vendors, people, whatever businesses, and you're going to get repeat business, and then you get more referral businesses because you shine brighter than all the other crap that's out there. And oh, by the way, she's affordable because the end result is there as well, right? So you put your money where your mouth is. People think, oh, I can't charge more, but they're not looking at, like you just said, but my kid is going to be more creative. My kid might become a musician. My kid is going to be calmer. $48, sign me up every day, right?
Yes. Exactly.
It's perspective. It goes down to perspective. So you're really good at the branding and that expertise, right? Why do people obey the brands and the experts, if you will?
Well, people obey experts because the experts, you know, they shorten the learning curve. Okay. For example, let's take my definition of an expert is very wide. So let's think of a restaurant. Okay. I go to a restaurant. I am in a conference. I have a lunch break. I go to a restaurant. I don't know the restaurant. I sit in the restaurant and the waitress comes to me. And I ask her, you know, what do you recommend? Okay, so why do I ask what you recommend? Let's think about it for a minute. I don't know her, okay? I am 46 years old. She's maybe 21 years old. And I don't usually consult with 21 years old on my day-to-day life. And she represents a restaurant, right? Because the restaurant told her, if someone asks, what do you recommend? You know, recommend of the steaks. You know, why? Because, you know, we have, they're expired in 2 days, okay? So she has the restaurant interest. So why do I ask people that I don't know, 21 years old, a very important decision, what they're going to enter into my body, you know? You decide for me what I'm going to eat now, okay? Why do I ask her? Because she's an expert. Because in this restaurant, I don't have time, I don't have a knowledge. So I ask the waitress, she knows all day long, you know, what people eat, what they like, what they don't like. So I tell her, you decide for me. Now, consciously, it's not logical, right? But at the subconscious level, it's very, very logical, because people are trying all the time. Their default is to consult with someone that can know better. Now, I can not ask anyone. I can gamble, you know, just look at the menu and say, well, I don't know this dish or this dish. Okay, so I will pick this dish. Okay, now you gamble. Then now 20 minutes later, the dish comes, and then it's a go, no go game. You know, either it's good for you or it's not. But it's not good, then you don't have time to order something else, and you feel embarrassed, and it costs you money. Another option is you can say, well, I will order all the menu, you know, bring me 10 dishes. Okay, so, you know, it's very pricey and it's not efficient. So most people, their default is to ask someone. Now, What makes me, you know, consider someone as an expert? If they know something better than me, they already did the role. It's not because, you know, they are younger than me or older than me or more brilliant or more smart, you know, or something like that. Maybe they are from different country, okay, different area. But when I don't know something and I trust someone, you talked about trust at the beginning, and I hear you talk about in former episodes. I listen to your podcast and I enjoy listening to your podcast.
Thank you. You
talked about the mechanism of know, like, trust, right? Know, like, trust, and then buy. So know is that people need to actually know you before they buy from you. And then they need to like you, know, to have a chemistry with you. By the way, they don't need to actually meet you in order to like you. They can see a movie, you know, where, you know, a short video in a TikTok or Instagram and or Facebook or YouTube, and they love you or like you. But then you have the trust. So in order for someone to become an expert or to consider an expert in front of their clients, they need the trust, the professional trust, you know, the social proof, the tools that, and you can elaborate more about it, that people will say, okay, you know the place, you've been here for a long time, you are a waitress here at this restaurant, then I trust you. Please tell me what I'm going to eat now. And then actually I will pick what she told me, which is the restaurant interest, and probably it will cost more than what I would have ordered, but I will be happy. This is the main thing. I will order the more expensive dish and I will be happier. This is win-win situation.
And I love that, because we do. We have to create a win-win situation. And I say win-win-win, right? Because she wins. She's going to make a little bit more right on the tip, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah.
You win because you had an enjoyable meal based on her recommendation. And the restaurant wins because now everybody's happy. They have yet another happy client that's going to come in and say, oh my God, you have to have their steak, or you have to have the bolognese sauce, or whatever it is, right? It gets the word out in a very organic and natural way. But we have to earn that right for someone to talk positively about us or to want to use us going forward. The other thing you said about the like, lots happening at the subconscious level, which I agree with, right? We're energetic beings. And I know, Yaniv, I'll be in Zoom meetings, you know, networking, where there's 25, 30 people. And then they do these mini breakouts where you put maybe three or four and you get to, you know, get a little more intimate, not in a weird way, but get to know each other's business and what have you. And inevitably, two or three times when I go into those breakouts, somebody will say, oh, I'm happy I'm put with you. And I go, oh, I'm glad. I haven't said a word, right? In the big screen, all they saw was my face. And they'll say, there was something about you. I was drawn to you in that 50. I kept looking at you. And I was like, did I do something? They were like, no, I could feel your energy. Now, isn't that interesting? We're on Zoom. So why are they drawn to me? Why do they already like me? Because I have a good energy about me. So we have to, it's all packaged together. We have to make sure that we start to utilize these skills that we don't even realize we have and leverage them, but we have to shine lights on them for people like you do with the persuasion and the speaking and the debating and what have you. I want to talk now about how do we motivate people, right? So all of these things we're talking about. So now I have this conversation with you. How do I get people to act today? Like the call to action, how do I get them to say, yippee-ki-yay, let's do it?
Okay, first of all, there is connection. Everything is connected, you know, because we talked about energy. We talked that this is the chemistry, you know. I think the number one tip in the public speaking is love your audience. If you love your audience, they will love you back. And number one tip in sales is love your clients. If you love your clients and you are happy to meet there and you are happy to talk to them and you actually listen to them, they will love you back. So at the end of each conversation and each post and each mailing list and each meeting, then you need to have call to action. Now, how do you make people do something? So everything is connected, because if they consider you as an expert, they will more probably do what you need. Think like we go to the doctor, you know, I have a problem. And then doctor says, okay, you need to have, you know, to take this medicine once a day in the next 2 months. So here now go to the shop, buy this. It's actually expensive medicine. And I go immediately and I buy the medicine. And then I start the treatment the doctor told me. And I suddenly change the way I live for the next 2 months. Why? Because the expert told me, you know. So, And we talked about social proof. So social proof, if I will say about myself that I'm an expert or that I'm very good at what I do, I am very professional, it doesn't sound objective. It sounds subjective because I'm talking about myself. So obviously I'm going to speak highly of myself. But if during the conversation I will tell lots of, let's say, objective data or show evidence that I'm good, okay? For example, if I lecture So I the number of lectures, you know, and the amount of years I've been doing this, or the number of books I've written, you know, or the certificates, formal certificates or diplomas I have, or formal education I have, etc. Then the client is considering me as an expert, and then it's more likely to do whatever I want them to do. Now, it's very important when you talk about call to action to have clear instructions to people, you know, tell them exactly what you want them to do, not just, okay, so keep in touch. I call it keep in touch, but not too much, you know. So keep in touch. No. This is my website. Please enter my website. Okay. We finished the meeting. I will send you an email with the price quote, and then we'll talk later next week. We talk another time next week or something like that. So there was a survey, a research in a few decades ago in the United States that they took 100 students and they wanted them to get vaccinated. And they showed them a presentation, very good presentation. They need to get vaccinated. And you have a problem. You are in the risk group. You need to take the vaccine. And then after half an hour, they told them, go and get vaccinated. Okay. And then one month later, they checked with 100 students how many actually got vaccinated. And they figured out that only 3 out of 100, 3% conversion rate, very low, got the vaccine. And then they say, why? Because the presentation was so effective. What happened? Life happened, you know, because the students got off the presentation and they said, well, I need to take the vaccine. I have a test 2 days ago. So I first finish the test and then I will take the vaccine. And then you lose all the momentum of the presentation. But 1 month later, they took another 100 students, the same presentation, that told them exactly, they told them, go and at the end of the presentation, go and get vaccinated. But this time they gave them a map of the university with an X where the clinic is located and with a number to call and the hours in which the clinic is open. And they told them, go and get vaccinated. And then they checked 1 month later and 33 out of 100, 33% conversion rate, 11 times more than last time, did it. Why? What is the difference? It's just a clear call to action. You know, didn't just send them, you know, just Google them and look for the clinic, you know, look where it is or check the number. No, this is a number. Those are the hours. Please see the next, your schedule the next week when you're going to take the vaccine. And then it's they more likely do it. And how can we reach, let's say, 40-45% of rate if they actually vaccinate them on the spot? You know, they just put a booth there and they say, okay, at the end of the presentation, here is the table, go there and get vaccinated. So still, I don't get 80%, 90% conversion rate because people need to consider it. Maybe they don't have time now, but more people will do it and they will take. So if I would like a call to action, I need to have clear instruction. I need to make it fun. I need to make it easy for them. If it's easy for them, it's fun for them, then they're more likely to do it.
Yeah, and it's so funny that I'm loving on you right now, Yanev, because it different perspectives on things, but the philosophy at the core is the same. And I tell my clients when I teach them, I say, you know, if you ask really, really good questions, client understands what you're asking, they're going to give you valuable information back that's usable, right? That you can help create a solution. So you're clear, your questions, you're getting clear information from that client. So now it's almost like a beacon out of the heavens saying, ta-da, like this is the customized solution that this client needs right here, right now, as well as things they're going to need down the road. So you can position yourself not only just as an expert today, but as a planning partner for the future. So clear questions, clear responses, clear solution. It becomes, yeah, man, this is what you need. And now when you come with it, again, you said this and here's how we can, and then this is the effect and here's the return on time. Here's the return on investment, whatever, and ground it now in my presentation. 90% of the time, if it's a good match, by the way, you're not just throwing crap at the client to make a sale, right? We're not chasing the money. We're really trying to help the client at the end of this. The client's 80-90% is going to go, holy crap, this is exactly what I need. And this, in my world, Yanev, and I'm curious to see what you think on this. When you ask for the business, three things happen in my world. One, client, it's like, how fast can we do this? You know, it's a perfect match. We're doing it now. We're signing the contract. We're scheduling whatever it is. Second thing is I say to them, I know you need me. You're not ready for me yet because you've got life. You've got all this going on. You're planning a wedding. You have your honeymoon in the middle of the train. It's not going to work. We can't connect, disconnect, connect. It's going to be an epic fail. why don't we wait? And then, but you could do this, this, and this in the meantime. We'll get it scheduled, but we can't do it now because it's not going to stick. It's not going to work. Time and money is going to be wasted. And you know what happens, Yaniv, when I do that? They go, but I want you. I go, I understand. We're a perfect fit. You're not ready for me yet. Honor where you are because we're going to make magic later, but you have to trust me on this. And inevitably, they say, okay, hesitantly. Later on, I get the most referrals from them because I didn't just chase the money. I truly understood them. And then the third thing is, I am not the, based on everything I just understood, Yaniv, I am not the person that can help you. You need my friend over here that's going to do a better job. And even the people I turn away and say, I'm just not the right fit for you. I love you, but we're not the right fit. I get referrals from them because again, I'm in integrity. I do the right thing for the client. So notice I didn't say objection because I say you're not ready for me instead of getting an objection. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I understand that because I did a good job during my exploration conversation that I know really what the customer needs. I'm curious, weigh in. What do you think?
First of all, you talked about trust. This is how you create trust because you build a relationship. You say to the client, you don't need me now, you will need me 1 year from now. Actually, what you're saying is we're going for a long-term relationship. So we're not just eager to close now the deal or to take your money now and never see you again. I would like to, you know, to be in a relationship with you and you tell me what you want. I tell you what you need as an expert. By the way, again, it shows that you're an expert because the client is not an expert. He says, I want it now. Like, you know, like a 4 years old, he would like a candy, yes. You know, I want it now. And then you say, no, it's I have an experience, 20 years experience. I saw hundreds of cases like you or thousands of cases. You know, I can tell you that in most cases, if you do this now, then it's not going to work. Just do 1, 2, 3 and then come to me in stage 4, etc. So you become an expert in the client's eyes and you build a relationship and they trust you because you operate against the instinct of most salesperson who would like to just close deal now, you know, close deal now, then we'll talk. Okay, first the money in my bank account. But no, and when you say maybe I'm not the person for you. Well, the client don't hear it a lot. You know, most people would just, I need something. You know, I'm a lawyer, an economist. And most lawyers, if you come with the most ridiculous suit, you know, you have an idea, you know, someone spilled the soup on me at the restaurant, then I would like to, you know, to sue them. Okay. So you don't have a chance, but out of 10 lawyers, maybe 5, 6, 7 say, okay, great, you know, give me money and let's write the, you know, lawsuit, you know, something like that. But the good lawyers, you know, the ones that think for long-term relationship and they don't work with anyone, they will say, well, they will talk to you for free, maybe. They will say, well, or maybe just a consulting, you know, meeting for, they will charge you. But they will say, no, there's not no ground for this lawsuit. So I recommend you don't sue. Let's focus on have a happy life, you know, or it's a long-term relationship. Don't sue your neighbor or something like that. And then they are more likely to, you know, to get referrals or something because the people who trust them, because they actually, he operates against his instinct. I was willing to pay him. And he told me, save your money, go, you know, take your wife for a holiday, don't sue your neighbor or something like that. So yes, everything is connected. The fact that you build personal relationship and the fact that I'm an expert, the fact that you have clear questions and then clear solutions and then clear call to action. You know, if people would like to sign, okay, this is the agreement, sign it now. No, okay, so let's talk next week and I will send you 2 weeks from now the agreement. No. You know, the momentum is going to be lost. So do it now. So if you make everything clear for them and fun for them, this is about chemistry, fun and clear, they are more likely to buy.
Yeah, and we have to be human, Yaniv, because there's so many people out there that are spewing the same crap. And it's like, God, how many times do I have to hear that? And it's really not valuable anymore. It becomes devalued. And I know when I'm on podcasts or I do speaking events, like they'll say to me, oh my God, I love your process. It's simple. It's ridiculously simple. That's why people like it, because we try to make things so complicated. People go, I have no idea what she's talking about. Why would I buy from you? It's again, that clarity through that communication process. And that's how the trust is built. And I agree with you. All of these pieces of the puzzle, we can break them down into pieces from a skill development standpoint. But at the end of the day, you can't move on to the next skill until that foundational skill is really good with whatever, with sales or when you public speak. You can't just say, okay, so you're going to speak just like Yaniv, who's been doing this 20 years. No, I have to teach you how to get down into not sweating and puking before you go on stage or whatever, right? Yeah. We have to break the skill down for people, but the trajectory, there has to be a clear path of how to get them to succeed, right? Whatever that success is at the end of this. My friend, we are out of time. I love your energy. I love your intellect and the thoughts, right? The thought-provoking ideas you have. So thank you. Just such a great show. Guys, email if you have a question specific for Yaniv, if you're looking to do more public speaking, if you're looking to make more sales, really, and you know you're glitching on your communication piece, please reach out to Yaniv. It's Yaniv at yanivzaid.com. I will put that in the show notes. Website great. Is easy peasy. It's drpersuasion.com, and doctor is Dr. Persuasion.com. Again, it'll be in the show notes. And on the website, Yaniv, because I want people to click in and get on your newsletter. Where is that on the website so they can connect with you long term?
When you enter the website, you need just to leave your name and email, and you will get a free guide how to improve your sales and marketing abilities and public speaking abilities. And again, if you're entrepreneurs, CEOs, managers of all ranks, you know, self-employed, small and medium businesses, authors, lecturers, coaches, then I will be happy to answer you and to answer any question you may have and help you to build your professional authority and make more sales and increase your income. And if you like this 40 minutes, you will love my lectures and workshops. And also I have a new release in the United States. It's called the 21st Century Sales Bible, my new book in the United States and North America. It's also in Russia and China and India and many more countries. Nice. So it's now available in bookstores and on Amazon. So please feel free to purchase it.
Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of people that follow me, because I'm in the corporate space, that's really where I play. So I have a lot of executives that listen to the show, right? I've met them, I've worked with their teams. So on the corporate side, you know, if I have to report to the CEO, I want to get up there and I want to, you know, hit it out of the park, as they say. So how do I refine that public speaking presentation? So again, yes, if you're a business owner, for sure. But I even think if you're in corporate, you're selling yourself every day, whether we realize it or not, you might be a nice piece with that public speaking end of things. Yes. So that now the CEO was like, holy smokes, that person, they were on point, they were efficient, they were clear, and I understand what they just presented and what they need us to do organizationally. So I think your stuff could be super helpful in that realm as well. So make sure you download, go to the website again, Dr. Persuasion, drpersuasion.com. Download that free gift and buy the books, because I do your books. There were three that I listed, public speaking. If you're nervous about public speaking, buy that book. Creative marketing, business owners, even marketing execs could help you. And of course, the sales Bible, where you could get really into the weeds of how to become a better communicator with your clients and build those lifelong relationships. So my friend, thank you for being on. A true joy to meet you.
It was a privilege talking to you. You're very professional, and I enjoy listening to your podcast. And again, I recommend listening to all the chapters, not just this chapter.
This is the best one though, right, Yaniv, if you could say.
best one yet, yeah, no doubt.
I don't know that I could agree. My other guests might get upset, but this was a good one. Let's say this was a good one. So Yaniv, thank you so much again for taking the time. Truly, truly a pleasure. And I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together, no matter where you are on changing your sales game. I truly hope that my guests and I have provided some ideas, tips, strategies for you to execute. Oh, by the way, here's your call to action. Take one of the ideas. Here's an idea. Go to Yaniv's website, download his free gift to you, get on his mailing list, see what insight you can learn from him. Great call to action. Easy peasy. It's something to do immediately after listening to the show. It could be as easy as that, guys. So again, and oh, by the way, you're going to get tremendous value by reading the free download from Yaniv. So again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, really a pleasure. And thank you for joining us this week. You've been listening to Changing the Sales Game with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.com. You know I'm inspired to have you follow me and enjoy my shows. And my goal is for you to take this information, apply it in your life, and I promise you, magic happens on the back end. I cherish you all in my life. I love you all. I hope you know that. And I will see you next week. Have a great week, everyone. Be inspired. Take action. Download the gift. Talk to you later, guys. Have a great week.
Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. And while you're at it, please leave a rating and review and share it with your friends. Tune in every week for more exciting insights and strategies on increasing your business's ROI. And always remember, lead with heart and your sales will follow.